Praise God and the Lamb. I didn't know whether to shout, run, or dance. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
There's a holy dance in the Bible. I guarantee what you feel in here is real.
Yes.
Come on, this ain't Billy Bob. Thank God, this is the mighty God.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody all right? Say amen.
Yes.
I know some of you country music fans about had a heart attack when I said that. That's all right. Praise God. I was raised on it all my life. I know the old stuff. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sir. I remember Loretta Lynn singing How Great Thou Art. The way she sung it, praise God. I said, well, I didn't know God had that kind of twang in his voice. Amen. But it's good to be here tonight. Amen. Good to see all of you. See my buddy dressed down in his best overalls tonight. That's good. You got to have somebody in the church that dresses like a country redneck. Or a church will go liberal. Gotta have a man built like Haystack Calhoun. Half of y'all don't even know who I'm talking about. How many of y'all remember the wrestler Haystack Calhoun? Praise God. That's his grandson right there. Amen. Praise God. I liked him. Haystack was always on the right side. Amen. He was so big around there was no side. Say amen. But, it is absolutely good to be here tonight. I want to thank you. I've had to bury one of the greatest ladies and members, workers in our church. She was there when I got there. Had been there several years before I got there. And Miss Carolyn went home to be with the Lord. Married Brother Johnny's daddy, and went home to be with the Lord. And then of course had to bury. We planted the body of Preston Moore, my pastor and my hero, and had that. And I realized that I'll just tell you now that Brother Moore's in heaven, it's going to get me in trouble, and I really don't care. But that's my favorite preacher sitting right over there. And Jack, I love you, son, and I appreciate it. I'm kidding. Amen. No, men like Cody Zorn give this old preacher hope that God's going to preserve this old time way and old fashioned preaching. We got so many that think you got to lean to the left and come to the middle and get away from the right and try to accommodate those that don't even believe the Bible's the Word of God. I'm glad that we still got some that's still heaven sent. Praise God, and still preaching a book and not afraid to let it rip and don't feel like they have to accommodate those that have compromised and get along with the crowd that don't want to follow God. Amen. And it's a joy to be here, and I love him, and it was precious to me. And it dawned on me, I didn't realize it, in over 6 months, this is my first multi-night meeting since I had the surgery and then had the MRSA infection that got further advanced than anybody knew and liked to took me on. But I do remember I was drugged up and delirious from the infection, and I'll never forget the morning seeing Brother Johnny, my associate, and your pastor standing over me in Shelby, North Carolina, getting a hold of God, intercessory prayer. And praise God. Hallelujah. I'm having a Holy Ghost mini pearl fit. I'm just plumb proud to be here. Amen. And I'm looking forward to this. And if you think I'm going to hold back, bless God, I don't care if you get mad. I don't care if you spit. If some of you women go over there and leave the door and spit your snuff out, some of you men throw your back around. You ain't going to bother me. I'm just here. Praise God. I'm going to have me a time. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't it good to be saved? Lord, I'm glad. Amen. Now, and I want to thank Sister Gina back there and her husband, Ellie Purdell. Gina is one of the ministers. She's in the administrative offices of the hospital that took care of me. And she made sure I got first class treatment. I was there for 10 days, a number of testimony. It seemed like 40 years, a number of trials and testing. But anyway, I was there for, no, I'm kidding. They were wonderful. And I didn't realize that in 37 years at one church, all the particularly children with our bus ministries and that have grown up and kids that came with other kids and a time or two at church and some that came. And I believe every nurse attendant. Now, y'all know how I am, and I'm kind of crazy, and don't a whole lot embarrass me. I don't worry about it. When you're built like a fire hydrant, and your stomach looks like the reverse side of a soup spoon. Hey, look at this. Wait. I've gone from a chunk to a hump. Amen. Praise God. I got a facelift the other day that pulled my socks up. All that skin hanging. Amen. I'm telling you what, I was in that hospital, and I honestly didn't know. Word got out. I don't know if it came from administrative offices. But a lot of people, of course, I've been visiting that hospital for 37 years, and so I know about everybody in there. And then all of a sudden, I love them. Now, they're the best. I had the best treatment. She saw to it. But we need to raise y'all some money. They just don't buy gowns that fit me. Them little T-shirts on steroids just don't get the job done. And it bothers me, Brother Scott, when I'm sitting there looking at the wall and somebody walks by somebody walks by the door and says, "Hello, preacher." Hallelujah. I had never spoke in tongues till I was in that hospital. Amen. But anyway, amen. But it's a joy. It's a joy to be here in the house of God and to hear the second best choir in America. How come we're second? Because some of mine are listening. That's why. It's y'all's fault that you put this on streaming. Amen. Praise God. But no, I love it. I love the. Hey, if that don't hit. By the way, and I want to say that I'm gonna. If I got a time limit, all right, good. Well, praise God. They kind of hated to see me get better, cause while I was still rehabbing this knee, I'm telling you what, I couldn't go more than about 15 minutes. Somebody said the other day, "I see he's improving." I thank God. Everybody all right? Thank God. And I'm going to say some things. I believe God, I believe the Holy Ghost and God Almighty kept me alive to keep preaching and preserving the old time way. Preaching, preserving Brother Sammy, what your daddy preached and pioneered in that part of the country in a place that was overgrown with a lot of scholars. And I have a right to say that. Not that I'm one of them, but I went where the hotbed was. And I thank God for a church that still believed in old-time worship while everybody there around there. Brother Nathan, hallelujah, I'm glad the old-time way still works. And I believe God, and I really believe it with all my heart, that God sealed some things in my mind. And if I hope to God I don't want to be obnoxious. Brother Scott, I don't want to be offensive. But if some fellas have decided they don't want to believe this book anymore, and they don't want to stand for it and want to associate with those that don't want to believe it and don't want to go by the standards nor the traditions handed down by our fathers, they'll just have to get mad at me because I'm going to preach it. It still works. And I'm just going to stay with it. And I want to preach about that tonight. I hope it'll encourage you. I'm not mad at nobody. I love God and everybody and still like McDonald's French fries. Somebody say amen. And but I'm telling you, it's time to stand in the gap. And I really believe the Lord has a reason that we're still here and shouting the victory. Boy, and I'm seeing God calling. Brother Troy, remember when he got called to preach it? God sent him a wife that wears shoes and got all her teeth and everything. I mean to tell you, amen. And I don't want to embarrass him or anything, but Brother Nick came to our church here a little over a year ago, wasn't it, Nick? Is that right? Had a lot of religion, even been in Mormonism. Had a lot of things he figured out. You could tell he was intellectual. A lineman with under Duke Power. And he came to our church. First thing that happened a year ago, what happened, Nick? What happened a year ago?
A year ago, I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ.
Got saved by the grace of God. And just a week ago, came in my office and said, "Preacher, God wants me to preach." Isn't that good? God's still calling. Boy, I'm glad of what God's doing right here with these young men. I love watching, as much as I think Cody's the best preacher in America, and I mean that, I love just to watch you guys. I've always liked the cheerleaders. Say amen. 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 I said liked. Amen. Don't you start that mess with me. Praise God. Amen. I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. Don't even go there. I was too till Mama had me. You get born again, you won't claim nothing else either. Amen. In 2 Samuel chapter number 16. 2 Samuel chapter number 16. Amen. All right. 804. Okay. I'm real. Don't charge me for that other. Amen. Didn't you enjoy the Matthews family tonight? Weren't they a blessing? I appreciate them and love them and been knowing them a lot. I was sitting there thinking, amen. I've known Becky since before Scott. Amen. Praise God. I don't even know if he's 37 yet. Are you 37 yet? You are? You way past it? Oops. You just a baby, son. All right. Praise God. Been knowing them a long time. And of course, the Rochester family. And I appreciate what we've heard tonight. I'm glad old music still works. We don't need none of the rest of it. Amen. Well, 2 Samuel, let me just get started here. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, you know the story here. David has been deposed. David has been dethroned. David has been defeated by his own son Absalom, who politicked at the gate. First thing he did, he superseded the place of the king. He went to the gate that was supposed to have been the king's place. And he politicked with the people. If I were king of Israel, I would hear your matter. And he turned the hearts of the people against the king. That's what rebels do. Turn it. You knew he was a rebel because he wouldn't get a haircut. Amen. He wouldn't get a haircut. And he was proud of it because he polled it. He weighed it. He polled it. He was an out and out rebel. I got news for you. I won't even listen to anybody sing that won't get a haircut. Don't look at me cross-eyed. If you cry, don't look at me like that. I don't care who it is. If they got hair like a woman, and they're violating the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. If it's an outright violation of the Word of God, I ain't going to listen to them. I don't care how much they sound like George Jones. Amen. But 2 Samuel chapter number 16, what has happened in chapter 15, David and his people, his faithful, loyal servants, are on the side of the mountain. They're weeping. David ascends to the top of the mountain. He's defeated. He's got ashes on his head. He's walking barefooted, which is what a defeated king does. He's shamed. His own son. Can you imagine the hurt? And he's walking up that mountain. But old David, even in his people are weeping. And David had not forgotten. I look into the hills from which cometh my help. And he starts up one side of that mountain. And what David didn't know, a fellow by the name of Mephibosheth, whom David had opened his heart to years before, was Jonathan's son. Lo and behold, the servant Ziba is coming up the other side of that mountain with two donkeys saddled. Now, the Bible don't call them donkeys, but I got a couple of folks in my church that just tears their nerves up to read what the Bible says, but I'm a King James man. Two aspirins. How's that for a compromise? And they bring them up there. While you're going up, friend, while you're defeated and you got ashes on your head and you think God's forgot where you are, you just go back to the place where you always, you get back to that prayer altar. You get back to that prayer. While you're climbing up, hey, while you're climbing up one side of the mountain, God's got help coming up the other side. And there they come. And I won't get into that, but that's the first four verses of this chapter 16. But then I want to pick up verse 5. Another scene. And when David, King David, came to Bahurim, behold, there came a man of the family of the house of Saul. Watch this. Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed as he came. And he cast stones at David. And at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai the king, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I think every preacher needs an Abishai. Thank God for some that just want to protect their preacher. I don't mean stand in the place. God will take care of him. But thank God for some folks that they're going to let nobody lay a hand, lay a word on the man of God. And I want to say this. I've been preaching 56 years. 56 years, 1968 in the youth camp. I got called to preach. But I want to say this, we have lost respect for the men of God. There used to be a fear and respect of the preacher. I remember he loved me and he won my mom and daddy to God. The man I was called to preach on led my mom and daddy to the Lord when I was 2 years old. And thank God I was raised in a Christian home all my life. I'm 71. And all my life, 69 years, all I've ever known is church. Somebody help me. Thank God for the man of God. Yeah, and as I grew up under that man of God, I learned to respect him. If I had a problem, I'd go. I just felt like he was too holy for me to approach him. He didn't act like that. But there was an awe of respect. And thank God for some Abishai. Thank God for some men to say, hey, we love our pastor. We love our preacher. I'm not going to listen to you bellyache to me about anything. I ain't going to listen to you rebels that don't want to do what God says. Come on. Everybody all right? I'm not going to listen to a bunch of belly aching and a bunch of women run men that don't want to have the guts to stand up and stand for the truth. Amen. Tony Hudson says he'd never had a real man leave his church. Amen. I about agree with that too. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. If you start looking down, you ain't praying. Come on. Unless you're reaching for some snuff, go ahead. Amen. But I want to tell you, are you listening? Abishai comes up and he said, I'm going to go take his head off. That sorry no count. Enemy. See, he was Saul's nephew, cousin from the family. You go back in Genesis, you'll see the tribe he came from, Gera, of the tribe of Benjamin. And so he was a Benjamite. And watch this. And the king said, what have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? Look, so let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Notice that capital C. Curse David. He said, now I want you to watch the king who has been dethroned, who has been shamed, and yet there's no bitterness. You mean to tell me God sent help and saying, go back and take the throne that's rightfully yours, and you hadn't got vengeance and revengeance on your mind? But here's a man after God's own heart. Yes, Bathsheba happened, but his heart was after God's own heart. Flesh is still flesh, but it's the heart that counts. Now watch this. He said, verse 11, and David said to Abishai and to all the servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. He's trusting God so much. He said, I believe God's so much in charge of everything going on. I believe the Lord had it ordered. What about that kind of faith? God ordered this surgery. God ordered this cancer. God ordered this heart problem. God ordered this aneurysm. God ordered this opposition. God ordered what you're going, this storm you're going into. Matthew 14, what happened in the first part of the chapter, preacher? That the Lord constrained those disciples to get into the ship. God's trying to teach us something. And he says, all right, don't worry about it. And as David and his men went by the way, verse 13, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed and went and threw stones at him. Had an Ernest T. Bass spell. Chunking rocks. You don't know who I'm talking about. You need to go home and read your Bible. Amen. If we'd have listened to Barney Fife 60 years ago and had some bud nippings, you read any book on child rearing, every one of them's for bud nipping. In fact, my ministry is a holy calling. I'm a bud nipper. I said B-U-D. I have to be careful. Some of you have carnal minds. Bud nippers. Nip it in the bud. Watch this now. Here we go. And Shimei come along, cursed, cast dust, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary, watch this, and refreshed themselves. What, he's coming along, curse it. And Shimei, I want to preach on this subject. I've been set it up, but it won't take me long now. You ready? Let them cuss. I'm going on. He didn't stop and fight him. All he had to do, all David had to do was say, Abishai, and that little sawed off squirt would have had his head cut off. But no, the man of God, the king says, I've got a duty. And it's to get back where God put me on the throne. And I'm too occupied. The Lord came to where I was. when I'd been displaced and I'm on the journey getting back, with glory to God in the land, where God put me to start with. Let them cuss. Let them ridicule you. Let them reject the message. Let them rebel. But don't let it distract you. Don't let it deter you. Don't let it delay you. God's blessed this church. I know a little bit of the history that I've learned through Brother Nathan and Brother Pastor Cody, and I've learned some of the things, and I've not been nosy, but we've just fallen in love with one another. How could you not love somebody like me that looks like a teddy bear? A bald-headed teddy bear. A pot-bellied teddy bear. I've lost 15 pounds and still have a pot. I feel like a Biafran. One of them babies on TV with the stomach sticking out. Amen. But I'm going to tell you tonight, listen to me. God came in, and y'all seen some good days, and you've seen some lean days. You've seen some defeated days. You've seen some dethroned days. You've seen some deposed days. There's times when you went down. But I want to say to you, hallelujah, blessed be the name of God. You now have seen days of deliverance. You've seen days when God showed up where you weren't afraid of what God could do. And you felt the mighty hand of God. Souls being saved. Look at these men right here. Stand up, boys. Stand up. Stand up, men. Right? All right, you boys sit down. Second row right there. You guys, it's the basketball team wearing your warm-ups. Scott, you get you five. I'm taking them. We're going to break you off. We might can play ball, but I guarantee we can cut you. They probably got a fillet knife with them right now. Amen, Brother Dave. Thank you, fellas. Thank God for what God can do. How many been saved in the last 6 years because of this church? Raise your hand up. Look what God can do. We've got time to listen to the whiners and the quitters and those that want to tear you down. We ain't got time to listen to the detractors. We're too busy. We've got to get back to where God wants us. Let them cuss. Let them cuss. Gordo. 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 Amen. Let them cuss. Let them do what they want to do. Four things. Well, it was four things. And sitting on that pew, God gave me a fifth one. But that's a good number. Five's a number of grace. Boy, that was a pretty song y'all sung about that a while ago. You never sing too much grace to me. I still believe in the free will of man because it's in the Bible. But I believe in that sovereign grace too. Amen. I believe God's so sovereign, He can do whatever He wants to. He'd even save whosoever will. Amen. Hey, I want to say to you, listen, why did David, he kept things in perspective. Now, I'm going to tell you, in this life, we're living in this world, this new social media driven, polluted, perverted, every bit of none of this transgender blasphemy. I'm going to call it what it is. How in the name of God can you stand and look at a creator that made you what you are? When your mom and daddy came together, God leaned over heaven and said, breathe. And that was a life that started. It might have been in an embryonic or cell stage or then an embryonic stage, but it is a life that God breathed. And you were created by divine God, and He's created in male and female. How dare you blaspheme God? How dare you look and say, God made a mess of my life. I want to be a man, or I want to be a girl, when God made you what you are. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to take a lot of praying to get that kind of conversion. I believe God can save whosoever will. But you go too far in that kind of blasphemy. There's a line somewhere. I don't know where it is, and I'm not proclaiming it where it is. That ain't my job. I'm going to keep preaching grace. I ain't preach God save sinner. But it's when God gives you up to a reprobate mind, you're gone. You're hellbound. I'm going to keep preaching that. It hair lips a lot of folks, but I'm going to keep preaching it. Amen. Hey, five things I'm done. Hey, he realized. He kept things in perspective. Why did he say, let him cuss? Hey, worry about it. He realized his position. He is returning. He is not running. He's no longer running from an enemy. That's his son. He's returning in the hand of Almighty God. In the will of God. God has come and rescued him. God, the same God that rescues you, will return you. Child of God, I don't care what got you this place. I don't care what person. I don't care what rumor. I don't care what sin you committed. I don't care what happened that got you this place and out of the will of God. But I'm serving a God that loves you like a child. And God loves you. And he wants to restore you. And he wants to return you where you need to be. Amen. I want to say to you tonight, he realized, let that squirt alone. My, I'm in God's hands. My Lord, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Come on, not Abishai, not Abiathar. He says, I believe they did write this. But I got an imagination. Don't worry about him. Come on, goodness and mercy. You two scouts out front, goodness and mercy. A couple of you young men come up here and straighten me back up. They didn't tell me I couldn't get in that position. Well, just bring me a can of WD-40 for titanium. It'll work. I'm glad goodness and mercy are scouting. I love watching them old war pictures. Y'all pray for me. You Hallmark women, God help you. My wife used to like them until they started having them queers on there. I guess I shouldn't say that word. Queer, queer. And we down here in China Grove now. Y'all understand this language. Amen. We done got through Mecklenburg County. We can be real now. Them John Wayne war pictures. Blood. Blow them up. Bullet through their head. I just get such consolation in watching that. Get him, John. Let me look this over. Killed him, Jabs. I want to get a 40 millimeter mounted on my pulpit. Fire the gospel gun. Not at Jabs. I'm talking about gospel gun. You don't understand what I say. Amen. I love Japanese. A combination hibachi, shrimp, and steak. I love it. Love it. Love it. Hey, he realized his position. But Josh, David said, hey, God was with me when I was with Goliath. God was with me when I killed a lion and a bear. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. Leave him alone. Let him cuss. We're in the hands and the plan of God. Let's go on. Number two, he not only realized his position, he rested in his prospect. Look at verse 12. What a statement. It may be that the Lord... Now, at first he says, and I've already covered that, so I won't do it again. God ordered it. Wow. That ain't saying... That ain't just saying God allowed it. Cody Jr., it ain't just saying, well, God's tolerating it. No, he's saying God ordered it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Wow. Why would God order it so God could prove what he can do? Anybody can shout while you're on top of the mountain. But it takes some faith in God to shout while the mountain's on top of you. David then comes down in verse 12 and he says, I love this. I don't know why, I think I can hear the tone of his voice. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction. Now, if he'd been like some of these TV preachers, he'd say, the Lord is obligated because of my faith and your offering of seed faith and me blowing on a handkerchief and sending the booger back. God is obligated to reward my faith. No, God's not obligated to anything or to anybody. He says, and David, maybe the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me. I like that word. For heaven's sake, leave it alone. God's going to requite me good for his cursing. God's going to take his cursing and he's going to give me a gift of it. A requisition. God's going to, if you requisition something, you seize it. You take it by authority. You have the authority to requisition it. So God is saying, I'm going to take his cursing and I'm going to requisition it. And I'm going to give it to you as a blessing. One day, thank God, I was in the hands of a dirty, rotten, low-down devil on my way to a devil's hell. But the Lord reached down and took what I was and requisitioned it and changed me from what I was to make me what I ought to be. Hey, he rested. I like that word, rested. In his, he said, hey, we're not worrying about him. I believe this is exactly what God wants. And I believe it's going to turn out. He said, he could have said this. The same God that gave him all those Psalms and all that scripture to quote that David done so many times. Psalm 84 could have been there. That would have been a good one right there. But then the Apostle Paul comes along. And he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And don't leave out the rest of it. If you're going to sew it on that little plaque and put it up on the wall, get the whole verse in there. To them that love God and are called according to his purpose. If you're in the purpose of God, everything's working out for the goodness of God. Amen. He rested in his prospect. Hebrews 12 and 10. Said he could turn it around. I heard about I'm sure it wasn't totally literally, but I read a story years ago about a mule. And old mule got to where it was getting old. And it couldn't pull. It couldn't do like it used to do. And the old farmer went to his neighbors and said, what would y'all do with your mule got? Couldn't do anything, and you got to feed them. And it's hard to make crops enough as it is, but much less to feed a mule. They can't do anything. They said, well, let's dig a hole. And so they community got together, and they dug a big old hole for that mule. And they dug it steep where the mule couldn't get out. And they led that mule, and they all pushed that mule down in the bottom. of that hole. And then they got their shovels, started throwing dirt down to bury that mule alive. And the mule thought about it. He was an independent Baptist. I've worked for that farmer 20 years. I've been a little stubborn. I get that from my daddy's people. I know I've been a little stubborn, but really? You gonna throw dirt on me? What a life and shape I'm in. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And that dirt kept hitting him. And all of a sudden that mule, a dirt would come down and hit him on the back, and he'd go and stomp. And more shovel loads come on it. He'd shake it off and stomp on it. He did that for 4 hours. And after 4 hours and 1 minute, he walked out of what used to be a hole. What you think, what the devil thinks, is going to bury you, God can use to bless you. What you think's going to kill you, God can use to thrill you. Number three, I'm moving on. He not only realized his position, he rested in his prospect. He recognized his priority. He never lost sight. Verse 11, and David said, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." David hadn't forgot his priority was to get back on the throne where God put him. I want to say this tonight. I think our movement's got distracted. We have forgotten who our priority is. Brother Nathan, I think, Brother Scott, all you preachers, Brother Sammy, I don't want to leave nobody out. All you pastors, brother right down the road, God bless you for coming. You sure y'all are independent Baptists? Y'all supposed to be fighting one another. Did you not get the memo? Amen. Fellas, God didn't call me to just get along with everybody. God didn't call me. Now, don't misunderstand me. Don't read in what I do not say. At my age, my words are precious because they're numbered. God didn't call me to be agreeable just for the sake of getting along. I cannot agree with error. I cannot associate with those that consistently agree with error. My priority is not to get along or be agreeable. My priority is to do the will of God by the Word of God. Your priority is not to please your family, and I'm all for family. Your priority is not to get along with people and your friends that want to take you out of church. It matters who you associate with. It does matter who you hang out with. It does matter what crowd you hang out with in a church. It matters who you associate with. It matters. This ain't the only time you're going to hear that this week. But I'm going to keep saying it because our priority is the Word of God by the Scripture and the Spirit of God. Don't forget. Hey, we ain't got time for the distractions of the Benjamite, Shimei. We got to get back to doing the business of God. This church has been blessed. God's raised it up. It is a beacon here. It's a beacon all over the world. A worldwide ministry because God blessed the internet. Hallelujah. Sometimes I could spit on it. But then other times, thank God, it's done a great work. And God's used it. And I understand that. But I want to say this. He recognized his priority. Number four, he renewed his purpose. He renewed his purpose. You see, don't get distracted with the little foxes. He renewed his purpose. He says, not only I recognize my priority, I remember why God called me. And he refused to let the distraction of Shimei get him down. He said, I've got to get on. I want to say something to you tonight. I've not looked. I can't do it. It's such a good crowd for a rainy Monday night. I certainly couldn't complain about the crowd. This is wonderful. And I know the preacher has to be thrilled. But he's looking around and there's some people that I don't pay them. Just like when he's at our church, I see some hole here and there. I said, why? What in the world? I tell you what it is. They forgot their priority. They need their purpose renewed. That's why we call it what? Revival. But I want you to watch this. I had not seen this till I sat down and took one more peek at my text. And I love that verse 14. Read that out loud to me.
And David and the king and all the people that were with him came weary.
Came what?
Weary.
In other words, they're weary. They've been running. Yes. They've been defeated. All right, go on now.
They came weary and refreshed themselves there.
Amen. Amen.
Stupid's over here cussing. The flesh is cussing. The will of man is cussing. The enemies are cussing. And David and them just go on. And the next place they find, they're rewarded. He reaps the prize. God refreshes them. In the face of cussing! Now that's the way I heard preaching when I was a kid. And I like to remind everybody I was a child. In the place of cussing! There ain't never a good time to cuss. Say amen.
Amen.
When I was a kid, we had a man who got saved on the bus route and didn't know no better. And he got up in the middle of a testimony service and told the devil where to go. And named it. And I said, Daddy, what about that? He said, I felt something. No, I'm kidding. I know. I've had some preacher friends of mine say, I stopped cussing when I surrendered to the will of God and the Holy Ghost, but there are a couple words. I am pastor and I keep a couple words in my pocket just in case. No, I'm kidding. He refused. Listen, he reaped the prize. I want to tell you what tonight. Press on. Press on, church. Press on. There's a Savior to preach. There are sinners to reach. And there are saints to teach. Press on. Thank God for you. Press on. Keep your eyes on the goal. Musicians, come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And I'm going to let the preacher close it however he feels.